We're going to take a look at that together this morning. I encourage you to pull it out, pull out a pen, and mark it up as we go through there. Because, you know, God's Word is wonderful and powerful. And I don't want you to feel bad about marking in your Bible, or especially like in the pew Bible or something. So I gave you a handout so you can feel free to write all over that all you want as the Holy Spirit speaks to you in this time. Before we get going, let's just ask God to really speak to us as we look at this passage. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love for us, God, and that you, don't just give us your word and then abandon us, Lord, but you give us your Spirit, Lord, that interprets and speaks to our hearts, God. Your word is living and active, and it's meaningful and pertinent to our lives, God. And we just pray, Lord, that as we meet with you in this place, Lord, that you will do whatever we need in our lives, God. You know what we need. And I pray that you would just speak to us, that you would heal our brokenness, God, that you would encourage us in our struggles, whatever it is, God. I just pray that we would meet you in this place and we would leave different because we've encountered you. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is kind of towards the beginning of his ministry here. And I really like this passage, and we're just going to read through it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. It says, "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they didn't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." I've read this passage lots of times. I've heard this passage taught on lots of times. I'm almost 40 years old, and I've been in church since I was a baby, so a lot of times I've heard this. But for some reason, as I was reading through this, God was really kind of making me focus this time a little bit more. And take a little deeper look at some of this stuff. I've always kind of, as I read this passage, I just kind of thought of it in terms of like evangelism, right? You know, the guy's out and he's sharing God's word because, that's what Jesus says, is the farmer. He said he plants seed by taking God's word to others. And I always think, for some reason in my head, I just always thought that was just somebody going out and telling people about Christ. But for some reason, as I was reading it recently, what really stuck out to me is that this guy's a farmer. And as that really struck me, I thought, you know, what does a farmer do? Does he just go out into some random field and just throw seeds around? No, he doesn't, does he? No, the farmer goes and he prepares the soil first. And then he goes and he plants the seed in it. And so I thought, wow, this is not just your fly-by-night evangelist that he's talking about in this passage. In fact, if you really think about it, when he says that the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others, really what he's saying is all of us who are Christians are supposed to be farmers. Because we know from the Great Commission, right, that we are, all of us, to go into the world and teach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that He's commanded us, right? And so we are all supposed to be this person out here scattering seed in the field. And so then I started looking at it a little bit differently, a little more intently as I thought about this. It's interesting. One of the concepts that we've been learning over the last few years is the concept that God has called us to be like farmers and not like factory workers. And here's what I mean by that. A factory worker goes to work at a set time, punches the time card, goes in and does his part of a process. And when this process happens, there is a guaranteed end result, supposedly, if the process is done right. And that's a factory worker. That's the way a factory worker works. And sometimes we like to do our Christianity that way. If I could do my Christianity that way, it would be simpler. Because then I would know, okay, if I get up at 5 in the morning and spend 30 minutes reading my Bible, another 30 minutes praying, and then I go and I witness to 4 people today, and I stop at the corner on my way home and feed the homeless guy some food that I picked up for him, and then I go home and I kiss each of my children 3 times. And you see what I'm saying? If I could just do these certain exact things and there would be a guaranteed product at the end that was the beautiful, abundant, blessed life, that would be so much more simple. That would be something that would really fit what I would like it to be. I would like it to be that simple. The farmer's completely different, however. The farmer has to go out and he has to work and prepare this soil, gets up really early sometimes, depending on the season, goes out there, gets to work, right? He does all this stuff to care for this soil, get this soil all ready before he ever even gets to plant. Then he has to plant, and then he can water and, you know, maybe hopes for some rain and whatever. And then there's, at the end of that, there's no guaranteed result still. He's still completely and totally dependent on God to somehow produce the result in this. And then the plants grow and he still has to go out and harvest. And there's not really set hours. There's not an exact process. Different things come up. He's got to be able to deal with them. You know, you get a swarm of bad bugs coming in, he's got to go deal with that. You get a late freeze, he's got to be out there covering plants, doing whatever. There's all these variables. It's not a nice, concise, set formula that produces exactly what he wants in the end. And so, God says, we're these farmers. And if you look at this parable here, as Jesus tells it, he says that, you know, the farmer goes out and he scatters the seed in his field. Now, even within this field, there are different soils that we look at. Just like within your life, within your environment around you, there are people who are in different places of readiness to hear God's word, right? And maybe even in our own lives, sometimes we're more ready than others, right? And so, as we go through these, I want to just kind of look at these. First of all, he talks about the seed that falls on the footpath. It says the birds come in and they take it away. And he says, you know, this is God's word is given, but before it can even be received, Satan comes and snatches it away. We see, here's what happened, is the problem to this isn't really the bird. It's not really the birds. The problem is the soil that seed fell on. Because if that had been good soil, those birds would never have gotten to it. The problem was this was hard-packed footpath and was not ready to receive the word. I've always looked at this and thought, oh yeah, the birds were Satan. He comes, snatches away. I'm not so sure, because I think what you see in a situation like that is Satan's been working on that path for a while. That path is hard for a reason. We grow up with so many false pretenses, false narratives being thrown at us constantly, where a lot of times you'll share God's word with somebody and they're turned off to it before you even start to speak. Because that soil's already been packed down by the lies of Satan being taught in our normal everyday lives as we go through it, right? They instantly turn it off because somebody has told them that this God thing's all a myth, that this God thing's a joke, that this God thing doesn't really match up with science. All these different things they've heard throughout their lives, they've never even stopped to wonder if they're true or not. That's been the process of packing down that soil so that it can't receive the word of truth. Then he talks about the rocky soil. Right? This is where the seed falls in and it sprouts up right away. And then, before you know it, it dies. Because there's no deep roots. It's not really getting any nourishment. And see, what you see here is he talks about that being the problems of this world or those rocks. And I think about that and I think the problems of this world only draw us away from God because we have wrong expectations of what life with Christ is supposed to be. We think somehow that because we have received Jesus Christ, we're not supposed to have problems in our life. It's supposed to be smooth sailing now. I don't know where this concept comes from, because it sure doesn't come from God's word. Jesus himself said, you're going to have problems in this world. I mean, just straight up, he told them that. That's what he told his followers. You are going to have problems. So why do we get so messed up when we have problems? Why do we all of a sudden start to question God when these problems come? He said they're coming. This is the effect of sin in the world. It is no longer perfect. And problems will come. But when we have this expectation that life's supposed to be smooth sailing, then when the problems come, we all of a sudden begin to discount God. We say, oh, well, God must not really be God. Must not really be true. This thing can't really be right because I'm having these problems in my life. The other thing he mentions is persecution. Now, in our society, we typically don't face severe persecution like they do in some other parts of the world. But persecution can come in a lot of different ways. And I would say the one that's probably most common for us is just somebody dismissing and discounting your faith. Oh, well, whatever. If you need that crutch, you go ahead. You know, or whatever it is. And that's the big persecution that we face in our lives as Christians, for the most part. Or somebody says, okay, that's for you, I don't want it. Oh, no, I've been rejected. Jesus was rejected. You see, and so there's these two things. There's these problems and this persecution, and we get all messed up when these things come. You realize Jesus also said that there's going to be persecution? He said, the world has hated me, and so if you really follow me, they're going to hate you too. That's what he said. So again, we get this, the facts all twisted, and we think, oh man, this isn't right. This isn't good. Must not be true. Must not be real. And you get these people who got so excited when they heard about the truth of this loving God, and then all of a sudden, whew, away they went, right? Well, the problem is they only had a little piece of the story. We kind of tend to do that when we witness to people, unfortunately. I mean, you can't obviously give them everything at once, but we only give them the, you know, God loves you, he died for you, and he wants you to go to heaven and have a wonderful life. And everybody goes, sign me up. I want that. What did Jesus say when the dude came and said, hey, I want to follow you? He said, hey, foxes have holes, you know, all this. He said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He said, it's not easy to follow me. He told somebody else, okay, then take up your cross and follow me. You realize what the cross is? That's the thing where they kill you? I mean, it's not an easy thing. But we get these people, we share the gospel with them, and then we don't ever go any further. So really, in essence, what's happened is we as the farmers, the ones planting the seeds, we're not fully working that soil, are we? We're the ones preventing those roots from growing down deep. Because we're giving them just a piece of the truth and not the whole truth, and so they become very disillusioned. That's why when Jesus gave the Great Commission, it didn't stop with going to all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them. He said, and teach them to observe everything. He said, you have to continue beyond that and teach the fullness of the truth of the Bible. That's part of the farming. You have to continue on beyond just the surface. I mean, hey, maybe that farmer raked that stuff real good. It doesn't matter if he didn't get those rocks out from underneath, right? Then he talks about the thorns. He talks about the seed that goes in and the soil is just nice, juicy, perfect for growing, and these plants begin to sprout up, but then these thorns come, these weeds. Anybody ever notice that you never had to plant a weed in your garden? Those things just show up. They just show up. And it doesn't matter how bad you want them not to be there, they show up. And it doesn't matter how much you worked that soil before you planted that seed, those weeds will still come. And what do you have to do? Yeah. You have to go yank those things out. And then what happens after that? Yeah. They come back. You're like, wait, no, I swear, that is the exact spot where I already pulled all the weeds out of. And there's more. Right? Well, that's the way it is in lives when it comes to really fully grasping and understanding and knowing the truth of God's Word. He describes these things here as the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. He just described everything our society is throwing at you all day long, every day, didn't he? I mean, that's it right there. Our world is constantly planting weeds in our garden. Constantly. Every advertisement that ever existed is a weed being planted in your garden, right? It's the lure for other things. And that is what keeps these from producing crops. see, as farmers, we're supposed to be out there producing crops, right? That's the goal of a farmer, is to produce a big crop. The bigger, the better, right? Because the more you have, the more people can eat, right? And that's the whole goal. And I think sometimes we get so sidetracked from the goal, we're out there cultivating our weeds instead of the plants. It's almost like we start watering the weeds and pulling the plants out sometimes. That's how I feel. It's like, man, what in the world am I thinking? And then he talked about the good soil and some questions naturally come up as you look at this. You know, what makes good soil? What makes good soil? Why is some soil better than others, huh? Who's responsible for making the good soil? And then another question that came to me is how do you know when soil is good? So what makes good soil? I think more than anything, it's the absence of the bad things, right? If you really think about it, the soil itself is good. At least in this passage, he doesn't talk about, you know, being just sand and needing nutrients. I mean, the soil itself, there wasn't a problem. The problem was that the soil was packed down hard because it was a walking path. The problem was that the soil had rocks in it. Or the problem is the weeds that are growing in the soil. It wasn't about the farmer needing to add things to the soil. It was about him needing to eliminate things from the soil. And I think that's true in our lives. What's going to produce the greatest crops in our lives oftentimes isn't the extra things we add in, but it's the things we take out. And then that question of who is responsible for making good soil? Well, it's kind of interesting because good soil can't happen without God, can it? So obviously God is responsible, but we see that it was more than just God who really was responsible in the situation too. The farmer has a responsibility in it as well, doesn't he? And so you see, it's a union between God and the farmer, between God and us. That's what produces good soil, is when we work together with God towards His purpose and His goal. And then how do you know when the soil is good? Yeah. You know after the fact, huh? You know later on down the road. You know, the farmer probably didn't know those rocks were in the rocky part of the soil until after he had already scattered the seed. I mean, yeah, maybe he knew that he hadn't done everything he could to make sure there weren't there. But he didn't know for sure that they were, right? But it talks about producing crops 30, 60, 100 times what was planted. And I think about that in terms of what he's talking about as a farmer here, someone who's out scattering the word of God, producing 30 to 60 to 100 times what was planted. How would that happen? I think realistically, in the scope of people and of accepting Christ and of really getting to truly know Christ and plant big roots, it happens this way, is you share Christ with somebody, and then you don't stop there. You don't let the weeds grow up and choke them out. You continue to work with them. You don't let them get disenchanted because you only gave them a piece of the picture. You begin to explain the fullness of God's word to them. And then their roots grow deep. And then they, in turn, go share with somebody else and do the same thing. And they, in turn, share with somebody else and do the same thing. And you see how down the road, this one person becomes multitudes, right? That's the way that God designed it to work when he sent his disciples out. When Jesus sent out his disciples, that was the design, is that they would share with people, that would share with people, that would share with people. And to an extent, it's obviously worked, because here we are over 2,000 years later, and we've heard because they have shared. But it's interesting, the percentage of population who has a relationship with Jesus Christ keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Because the lies are spreading faster than the truth. Or the partial truth that doesn't last is being spread, but not the whole truth that causes deep roots to grow. And it's important that we realize that you cannot truly grow deep roots on your own. You need God, you need the Holy Spirit, and you need others. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are responsible for the growth in each other, not just ourselves. And nobody wants to hear that. That goes way, way, way back to Cain and Abel, doesn't it? What did Cain say? Am I my brother's keeper? Right? Well, that's not my, that's their thing. Not my place. Not my problem. That's not what Jesus teaches. He teaches that as people who are out spreading the truth of Jesus Christ, it is our job to continue to work and cultivate that soil until the crop is produced. That's not easy. And it's ugly. It gets messy. It's difficult. And then there's the other aspect of it that makes it even more difficult, is we are ourselves a piece of soil too. And so we got to also worry about, what's the soil in my life looking like? And it can't just be, what did it look like when I heard Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and I accepted Him? It has to be, what does my soil look like today? Are there weeds growing in here? Did the kids get out and kick rocks in the garden? Do I got some of those in there now? I mean, what? Seriously, we need to be constantly, continually farming the soil of our lives and the lives of those around us. That is our responsibility. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this parable. It's so much more difficult than what I passed this parable off as for years. It's so much more involved. I mean, it was always just, you know, the circuit riding preacher going around, repent, and moving on to the next place, right? That was so much simpler. Oh, well, I guess that soil wasn't ready, so I don't have to worry about it, right? You can just pass it off as a predestination thing at that point, right? No, he says the farmer went out. Not the random guy wandering through somebody else's fields went out. The farmer, the guy who's working these fields on a constant, continual basis. And that's what we're called to be. That's what we need to do in our lives and the lives of those around us. And the measure, in the end, is the results, right? What is produced in the end determines how was the soil. So sometimes that can get a little painful if we start to look at it that way. We say, okay, what are the results from the soil of my life? And if I'm not happy with the results from the soil of my life, then I need to get back to farming. I need to get out and start pulling some weeds. Because if there's something out there choking out the harvest, then there's going to be some starving on the other end, isn't there? There's going to be people spending eternity apart from God. Or there's going to be people spending eternity with God. And it's the difference between the two could very well be determined by how's my farming? Let's pray. Father God, I just